This is KUT,
Austin.
Stop. I used to get mad at my school.
And welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello, Ed.
Hello, Jennifer, and welcome back to campus and to our studios.
Well, thank you. It is always a pleasure to be here, especially on a beautiful fall day.
By the way, I just thought of something. You know, if you, we can talk about this after our program here, but if you would like, we could actually rename this the Staton Studios. It would just be a modest check that I would require from you to Southwestern University, and I can make that happen.
Modest it would need to be. But well, maybe next time when I return, we can negotiate that. So as I pointed out, we are speaking in the fall. We're actually sort of right on the cusp of Election Day.
That's right. It's coming up.
Coming up. Early voting has ended.
That's
Election
right.
Day is looming. So I thought it would make sense to talk about sort of students and voting and campus participation, because that's so much in the air with everybody these days.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting, actually, at Southwestern, we have a group of students who really engage, starting in the spring and throughout the summer, with various organizations around the country to try to encourage young people, especially students, to vote and participate in the democratic process. And what was great is that the Southwestern students actually won a very competitive grant to actually have programming around this. And they were the ones that actually had early voting here on campus. So actually, when I voted, I did so at our athletic facility. And by the way, it was a little bit, apparently a bit of a challenge, the students were sharing with me, that it was, they had a kind of, they were so educated, they knew the law, and when apparently some official was saying, oh, well, we can't really do that, or you're not allowed to do that, they said, well, actually, by law, if we request this, it has to happen, and we fulfilled all the details that need to be fulfilled, and sure enough, they got it.
Well, it does definitely help to be an informed voter, and I know, you know, people have bemoaned the fact that participation among younger voters tends to be not very high, especially in a midterm year. You know, it depends on what poll you look at. Usually for midterms, it's between about 20 to 30% of young people, and that's actually ages 18 to 29. So it covers
right.
College student age and a bit beyond. I've seen polls for this midterm, though, putting it as high as 40. I think I saw one that had as high as 60% of people in that age group said they were going to vote.
And
that doesn't mean they're going to vote.
I think that's really exciting. I mean, obviously, for individuals who are eligible to vote, I mean, that is part of one's civic responsibility in this country, which is to engage. And I would argue to also be informed. You know, you just don't want to have voters going in there and taking out a die and rolling it, and then whatever it lands on, that's kind of how you feel on the issue or who you decide to vote for. But really to be so thoughtful, using so many of the things that you and I have been talking about all these years in making a decision that makes sense for you for reasons that you can articulate, whatever they are and whoever that is. But just to go in there and to be moved by sound bites or, you know, 160 characters and whatnot, or generic Facebook things, posts where we don't even know where they're actually emanating from, one really has to make up their own mind.
Well, talk a little bit about what those skills are then that come from higher education, from a liberal arts background, that young students, that voters who are of a younger time in their voting career, what can they take from that experience and sort of translate it into helping them get ready and be prepared to vote?
Well, all the thinking that they apply in the various disciplines throughout the liberal arts and the processes, I think, can be applied directly. I mean, the first thing is to articulate what are the issues that matter to you, that are important to you. And then for each one of them, try to explain why. Is it an emotional response? Is it a logical response? Am I responding because I don't like the other side or because I like this side? I mean, there have been many elections, you know, since I'm so old, Jennifer, I've been voting a lot. And there have been many elections where, in fact, I haven't been voting for somebody, but instead I have been voting for not someone else. And even to have that clarity in one's mind, I think is important. But then identifying the issues, seeing where you fall on the issues, challenging yourself to ask why do I believe that about this particular issue? And then finally, the empathy of saying, okay, now how can I try to make meaning of the other side? And why would people be supportive of that side if that's something that I find less attractive? And then you can become a really engaged citizen and engage in conversations before the election with individuals who have differing perspectives and see if you can either learn from them or if they can learn from you.
And what I think is interesting to talk, especially with younger voters who maybe have never voted before, haven't been voting as long, is how do you sustain that? So there's heavy interest right now because of our current situation politically and otherwise in the U.S. But, you know, things are going to be different in 2 years, 4 years, 6 years, 8 years. How do you keep young people interested in wanting to vote, even when things aren't kind of as ginned up as they are right now?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of activity out there, and people are, I think there's a lot of polarization that's going on, which is really sad and really unfortunate. And the narrative and the discussion, I think, is not particularly useful or effective. But you're right. If things were to calm down a bit, then maybe people become more passive. What I'm hoping for is that it becomes a thing, that once you start to do it once, it becomes a practice, and it's just kind of how you live. And from that vantage point, if we could bring up voter registration and encourage people to actually participate in the democratic process, then that might be actually a good thing to come from all this vitriol that we're seeing on all these, you know, directions. And I would love, I mean, that would be a great thing, maybe historically, looking back 20 or 30 years to this time period, saying, well, that was a turning point.
So, Ed, we're talking about practices and things that may become habits. So that makes me think, let's take time for the puzzler now, which, of course, is one of our usual practices of these higher ed episodes.
Yeah, and you can't vote on them. So there's apparently no democracy with these things.
There is none.
You know, it's funny because when I was putting these together, I actually was thinking, I didn't know we were going to talk about this, but I was thinking about how just where we are in the semester, there's so much exhaustion. I was talking to some students recently and they're talking about, you know, kind of this anxiety that kind of hangs over them, I think, through the political kind of place we are, but also just, you know, in where we are in the semester. And so everyone is exhausted. So I thought I'd do something a little bit silly. There's no puzzler.
No puzzler.
No puzzle tape. But instead, I actually brought some riddles. And
oh,
I thought we'd
good.
Have some fun with some silly riddles
that
so we can just
good.
Relax and have some fun for a change.
That does sound fun.
Instead of the usual stuff we do. So I've got a couple of riddles here. And
okay.
I'll throw two of them out to you.
Okay.
And we can either leave them out hanging or for next week, or you can respond to them now if you want. Here we go.
Okay. I'm ready.
So the first one is.
Yes.
What is the worst vegetable to have on a ship?
Worst vegetable to have. I know this one.
Do you know it?
I do.
Okay. Do you want to say it, or do you want to leave it for the people?
I want to leave it for next week.
Okay.
Because this is actually one of my favorite
can
jokes.
You write it down so I can just see the answer? That is correct. All right. Very good. And since we are early into November, which means we just ended October.
Yes.
I thought I'd give you a second one.
Okay.
Okay. Which is topical. What do you call two witches who live together?
Okay. Two witches who live together. Okay. I have. Okay.
Let me see. Hold on a second. I can't read your handwriting.
I know. I can barely read my handwriting.
That is correct. You got them both.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. Do you think our listeners instantly figure these things out?
I don't know. In some ways, I hope not, because they're fun to puzzle over.
Well, good for you. Anyway.
And they'll put you in a good mood.
We'll have some fun next week, and I can talk more about it. But getting back to the more serious issue of the upcoming elections, may I share with you a thought, which I don't know if this is even appropriate or not. It's a fact about the world, and it's just interesting. I find it a little interesting that the age to vote is 18.
Yes.
The age in which you can go and serve the United States in the military is 18. And the age to consume alcohol is 21. Now, there are a lot of reasons, and so, I mean, and here I am doing it right at the end of the episode, but there are a lot of reasons we can talk about it. I mean, physiologically, brain development, and, you know, when you're 18, you're still developing physiologically. We talked about this with respect to your brain, and alcohol, you know, could have effects on that. But I just find it interesting. And I remember thinking about this as a college student when I came to my first election, that it's interesting that I, you know, can do some things and not other things.
Well, and you can drive at 16 or even 15 in some
cases. That's right.
So there's another, another place where age sort of intersects with that. Well, it's interesting that you bring up age. I know there are many young people in high school who would love to be able to vote, and they're just not, they're not old enough. I know also a question that comes up for college students sometimes is, where should I vote? Mm. Should I register to vote at home and vote absentee?
Right.
Or should I vote, should I register to vote where my campus is?
Yeah.
What do students here do?
I think there's a blend. I think that you see a lot of our students are from Texas. So in terms of statewide elections, it won't make a difference. But at the local level, it would make a large difference. And I think that amongst the Texas students, my guess is that probably there's a basically a split, maybe with a little bit more going to their local places, I would guess. I don't know that for a fact. The more interesting question is, what if you're out of state?
Right.
And then it's an opportunity because you are allowed to vote where your campus is if you want, or you can vote home absentee ballot. And I think that students sometimes think, you know, what's the election that's going on and where will my vote have the biggest impact? And they go that way, which I think is very strategic.
Do students ever express concerns to you about, and this is actually a concern that I hear voters of all ages say, or a reason why they don't vote, is they say, I don't have time. It's not convenient. I can't get there. It'll take too much time out of the day.
I've never heard that here on at Southwestern. But what I think is more of a common issue for young people, and again, I don't know if this is happening on my campus, but I think it is a common issue for young people, is my vote doesn't matter. It just doesn't make a difference. And I'm unhappy with, you know, with everybody, or I'm really unhappy with this group or that group. And so, I mean, even in the presidential election on this campus, because of how the candidates kind of emerged on both sides, I had folks that shared that they were voting away just to make a statement to their own party. So it's very, very complicated, and they have the right to do so. I mean, that is part of the process. It challenges us to think, why are we voting the way we are, and what are the consequences? The consequences of what we vote for and who we vote for, and also the consequences of not voting at all.
Dr. Ed Berger, I have a feeling that you're a participant and that you vote. You said you already voted, right?
I already voted, yeah. But I never take the sticker. You know,
Why not?
I don't, you know, that is just a weird quirk of me. I don't know why, but I just don't like wearing the sticker, but I always vote.
Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. You can find out more at southwestern.edu. And you can keep your brain busy by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at KUT.org and wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Jennifer Staten, KUT News.